Hello, and welcome to Module 3 of Toxic Relationships and Love Addiction, titled Obsession and Abandonment. The first days of a new relationship are always exciting, even intoxicating. We think about the person we're seeing all the time. We wonder what they're doing, whether they're thinking about us, when they're going to call. We imagine them in all sorts of situations with us fantasizing about fun dates, clever conversations, electrifying kisses, and passionate lovemaking. It's a delicious paradox of romance that at the beginning, it's always both dangerously sweet, the possibilities, and delightfully painful, the uncertainties. A big part of dating entails figuring out both the possibilities and the uncertainties, weighing the partner and seeing if what you hope for might actually be who they are. The start of a relationship is always a little bit obsessive because it occupies so much of our thoughts. In healthy relationships, though, after the initial attraction, where couples idealize and attach to each other, love matures and changes. And as the relationship progresses, we relax and feel more secure. We know our partner loves us, when they will be calling, and what our plans are for getting together. We're now a couple. We still think about them often, but it's in a more comfortable way. That new romance obsession is gone, replaced by a level of security that can feel just as good in its own way. But love addicts never get past the initial stage of falling in love. They are obsessed with the idea of being in a relationship, no matter what the cost. They don't actually weigh the merits of their partner and honestly evaluate the potential of the relationship. Instead, they become dependent on their partner, hoping somehow this person will complete their lives and create their happily ever after. The obsessive thinking never goes away. Obsession keeps the relationship or love addict in fantasy land, enabling them to filter their perceptions through romanticized expectations and drama. Their new partner is always perfect, always the right one, even if they're not. The fantasy has little to do with who the person really is, but rather who the relationship addict needs them to be. Obsession also forces the addict into endless uncertainty. Love addicts live in fear, insecurity, and pain. Obsessive thinking takes on a life of its own, and the love addict feels extremely powerless to shape their own future. They're in a constant fear that the partner will leave them. The sweetness of possibility is an illusion, a kind of artificial sweetener, and the pain of uncertainty never gives away to comfort and security. This kind of obsession is fueled by fear, and the fear of rejection becomes an obsession, as does the partner who holds rejection at bay. Rejection and abandonment seem like the worst thing that could ever happen. The expectations of a lover relationship addict are unrealistic, so they are inevitably disappointed. Their relationships are ultimately never truly satisfying, yet they can't live without a relationship because they're so afraid of being alone. Being hooked up with someone relieves these negative feelings, so the relationship addict may use obsessive behavior, such as endless calling, texting, or thinking about the partner, to keep their negative feelings under control. The love addicts are often dysfunctional and are based more on discomfort, delusion, and obsession than they are on love. Any relationship feels better than being single because a love addict believes their very survival depends on the partner not leaving. They are hypersensitive to all their partner's behaviors. Any behavior that strays from total attention and devotion makes the love addict fearful. Small things that really mean nothing take on a huge significance. For example, if the partner calls to say they will be late for dinner or are going out with a friend, it's a catastrophe. Have you ever texted incessantly, and if they didn't call back, you would imagine all sorts of dire scenarios, such as they don't love me anymore or they never want to see me again? This is what obsession looks like. Another type of obsession is the nurturing obsession. Often love addicts are drawn to individuals they believe they can save, fix, or change. This is more common for women who tend to be caretakers, but men can do it too. And the reasons are complex. first the love advocate believes if they just love this person enough or do enough for them, they'll be able to create the relationship of their dreams. The second reason feeds into the insatiable need to be with someone. If you nurture a needy person, they'll become dependent on you. And if they're dependent, they will never leave you. Nurturing someone helps them to grow and change. It's not a bad thing. Often lovers in a healthy relationship say that over time, their partner has helped them become a better person. But just as obsession is love without the sweetness and security, it is also nurturing without the growth. The idea of a nurturing obsession is not to make the love addict's partner happier, but to make their partner more dependent. The love addict becomes overly responsible for their partner financially, emotionally, and physically, leaving the nurturer drained and frustrated. The love addict never gets as much as they give, but keeps thinking that if they just give more, they'll finally get the fantasy relationship they long for. Since the love addict lives in denial, the real problems her partner has are obscured by a cloud of delusion. Love addicts refuse to see any reality that threatens to tarnish the image of the person they are obsessed with. We attract and are attracted to people who share our view of the world. That means people who are willing to give endlessly, often with little in return, tend to attract people who are happy to take endlessly and give back very little. At the very least, this prevents their partners from growing. And at the very worst, they end up with partners who are charming, manipulative, lying sociopath. What makes it sad is the love addict is blinded by a need to see their partner as they wish to see them. These delusions keep them on an endless quest to save their partner. They make excuses, such as he's only temporarily out of work. He only drinks heavily sometimes. He's only emotionally unavailable sometimes. His jealousy is because he loves me so much. He's not controlling. He's concerned about me, and so on and so on. Love addicts often get into relationships that represent the families they grew up in. They are attracted to partners with problems like their family of origin so that they can finally symbolically fix their parents. The love addict is attracted to the familiarity of this kind of dysfunction out of balance relationship. We often go with what we know, and if all we know is dysfunction, we go with it because that's what seems normal to us. And then the last resort is revenge. Obsession can do anything to maintain a connection with their partner. They send lavish gifts and dozens of emails and texts, call several times a day, and come up with a host of excuses to be near their ex-partner. They can even resort to self-harm as a way to get attention and sympathy. This erodes their self-esteem because the more they pursue the partner, the more they push the partner away. And then the cycle of pain and shame starts all over again. And as the denial begins to be broken, the love addict gets angry at their partner for rejecting them. And at this point, a relationship obsession can become an obsession with getting back at the person who has totally, in their mind, ruined their life. Revenge is usually the last resort. Examples include making scenes at their workplace, calling, texting, emailing incessantly, or contacting mutual friends and relatives, all to make some sort of connection. They may even destroy personal property, such as homes, cars, furniture, or clothing. Inflicting pain on their partner is a way to avoid feeling empty, depressed, or abandoned. The only way to move through the obsessive thoughts and behaviors is to stay away from the object of your obsession. And the best way to do this is to take a break physically. This is a time to focus on the work you need to do, not trying to get your love object back. Taking this course is a great step towards that. There should be no contact at all. I know cold turkey is hard, but it's really vital to create the emotional space you will need so you will gain perspective. You need to break from your obsessive thoughts and behaviors. It's important to honor your need for this emotional and physical distancing so you can work on the personal growth you have been avoiding through fantasy and delusion and denial. The way out of obsession is getting back into your own life. You have isolated yourself from everyone except your obsession, most likely. So get in touch with friends and family, anyone you've neglected, and make plans to reconnect. Let them know you want to spend quality time with them, not to talk about your ex-partner, but be with them, be present. Go back to activities you've put aside. As you contact old friends and renew activities you've neglected, you'll begin to enjoy your own company, perhaps for the very first time. Getting back to your authentic self allows you to bond with parts of yourself you have disowned or lost because of your unhealthy relationships. These activities are essential to understanding and loving your whole self. You will come to realize others can enhance your life, but they can't complete you. Understanding your obsessive behavior means facing the loss of the fantasy that somehow the perfect relationship will make you feel complete. Be aware of some of the behaviors you may be tempted to use to avoid the pain of being away from your obsession. You may refuse to take a break from your relationship, hook up with people to replace your partner, chase people who are unavailable, fantasize and idealize new prospects without knowing anything about them, or even continuing obsessing over the person you're taking a break from. Be aware of old wounds and childhood abandonment that may resurface. If you engage in any of these negative behaviors, ask yourself, what am I running from? Am I running from the fear of being alone? Am I running from an empty heart? Am I running from old trauma? Remember, before you can heal, you need to be whole all on your own. A Chinese sage once said, be really whole and all things will come to you. Thank you so much for listening to this module, and stay tuned for the meditation for toxic relationships and love addiction.